If you'd turn with us tonight to the book of 2 Samuel, we'd appreciate that. I want to turn to the 17th chapter of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 17. We understand that Absalom is in possession of the throne of Israel. He's run his daddy, David, off the throne. Actually, God has allowed this chasing off the throne of David. And David quickly said, you know, to keep peace in the family, to keep peace in the city of God, Jerusalem, I'm going to willingly leave the throne. And he did just that. And it got me thinking about another king that willingly left the throne of all glory and came down here to bleed and die that you and I might be saved. Amen. Only one day to be raised back up again and sit back on the right hand of God, where he awaits to hear word from the Father. Son, go get my children. Go get your bride and bring her on home. We were prepared for the wedding. Everything's been done. We praise God for that. We understand Absalom's in charge here. And the first thing he does is he asks his counselors for a plan. In verse number 1, we see, moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. Realize that David's weary and weak and he's tired, and there's been a bunch of his mighty men, his valiant men, that's left all of Jerusalem with him. And Ahithophel was David's right-hand man. And Ahithophel has defected to the side of Absalom. And oh, how it hurt David to see his right-hand man betray him. And we certainly can think about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. And I certainly hope that our testimony and our life, day to day, our daily testimony, we're not being a Judas. We're not coming to church on Sunday and living a double life on Monday and Tuesday and then come back here on Wednesday night and have the parking lot miracle take place and say, ooh, I'm here and I'm ready to fall off the glory. Amen. Our testimony should be clean before the Lord. In fact, I want to read Psalm 55 or just a portion of that, if you would, speaking about Ahithophel and what David the psalmist wrote in Psalm 55, going through this time in his life when he was betrayed. I want to see in Psalm 55, down there in about verse number 12, as David begins to write, he says, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. Verse 13, but it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. David said, this was one of my best friends in this life. We were in the house of God together. We took sweet counsel together, and he's been mine equal. He's been a guide, a secret, a special advisor to me, one of my best friends. And yet how he's turned on me, and oh, how David was scarred because of this betrayal. I don't know, friend, if in your life you've ever had a friend betray you or someone do something to you that hurt you so terribly, something that was so unexpected from someone that was close to you. I'm not talking about an enemy. It was a trusted friend. Oh my, how David had languished in his heart and in his soul over this hour. And this man Ahithophel was not only just his guide, his sweet counselor, but Ahithophel would have been the granddaddy of Bathsheba. Oh, now we begin to see a little light on it, don't we? Ahithophel was very upset about David taking Bathsheba and committing adultery with her. But don't forget it was Bathsheba that on her own accord was taking a bath out naked in front of everybody that night on top of the roof up there where she could be seen by the king. I've always said it takes two to tango. This same Ahithophel's very mad at David and he's wanting to get David back. So he defects to the side of Absalom. And he even told Absalom, I want you to go into your daddy's concubines and I want you to take those women and rape them. Do whatever it takes to defraud those women. And Absalom did just that at Ahithophel's advice, knowing that way that daddy and son could never go back together again, that would be unforgivable, it'd be unpardonable. That way Ahithophel said, I know I'll be safe. Watch what he does in chapter 17. He begins to give some kind of counsel, some kind of advice. He says unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men,
and I will arise and pursue after David this night. In other words, he says, I think it needs to be done right now. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is if all return. So all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. We see the counselor's plan. Ahithophel says, let me choose 12,000 men. Let me lead them. We'll follow David. He's tired. He's weary. He's weak. He's not looking to be attacked right now. He's looking for a refuge. He's looking for a hiding place. He's looking for a time of peace and for a time of rest before he can kind of get his troops back together. Now's the time to strike, says Ahithophel. Don't forget when Ahithophel spoke in verse 23 of the previous chapter that the counsel of Ahithophel, which he canceled in those days, was if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. He was a very wise counselor. And he's given wise counsel here to Absalom as to what to do. And he said, if you'd let me choose these 12,000 men, I'll lead them and we'll strike at once. And what we'll do is when we come down there with that number, it'll cause every man to flee. They'll give David up. They'll offer him as a sacrifice. And the only person we'll have to kill is the king. Now that was a sleight of tongue. According to Ahithophel, if he's defected, his king is Absalom. But a certain slip of the tongue says that David's still the king. Why did he say that? Because he knew David was the rightful king of all of Israel. And he knew what they were doing was not right. So he has a slip of the tongue and he calls David the king. And amazing to me is he makes this plan. And knowing that, he says, after I kill the king only, I'll take all the people that remain and will bring them all back to you, Absalom. In other words, there don't have to be a long, drawn-out civil war. This will reunite all of Israel back together. And it is a good, solid plan. And amazing to me in verse 4, that upon hearing this plan, that Absalom is, the Bible says, he was pleased. In fact, it pleased him well to go out and have David, his father, killed. This was a man that earlier was going around trying to win the favor of the people and would take the disgruntled and the disheartened and would take sweet counsel with them and try to tell them he was their best friend, Absalom did, and try to side up with them. And he said, oh, justice needs to be done. And if I was made a deputy, I would do justice for you. He was a man that did not believe in justice. He burnt down the fields of Joab and he was to make restitution but would not. He was a man that did not believe in justice because the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, that thy days upon the earth may be long, years and days upon the earth. And if Absalom really believed that, why does it please him well to have his own father killed? It pleased him well. I want to tell you what tonight, if somebody told me we've got a plan and we're going to kill your daddy, Roy Waldrop, I'm telling you what, it wouldn't please me. And I'm going to tell you, they'd just about have to fight me. I'd be ready to fight them right there on the spot. Amen? I tell you, I wouldn't put up with that. And I want to tell you what, Absalom was well pleased. That's just, my friend, how power thirsty he is. I want you in verse 5. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai the Archite also. Let us hear likewise what he saith. Now, why in the world is he doing that? He's got somebody to agree with him. He's got the right-hand man of David telling him what to do, and it's a good plan. But something's in his heart says, let's go get Hushai. Now, you remember about Hushai? He was ready to head out with David, and David said, no, don't come. Absalom will accept you. If you'll go back there, you can be a spy. You can give me some of these, some intelligence, some operations inside the kingdom, and there might be something. You might help defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Hushai was a valiant man himself. And David said, I'm trusting you. So isn't it amazing that God puts it in Absalom's heart to say, I want to hear what Hushai's got to say about it. And Hushai steps up. The Bible says in verse 5, Call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel has spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. In other words, Absalom lays out the plan that Ahithophel has devised, that Ahithophel has counseled. And Hushai hears that plan, just exactly what Ahithophel has said. And I'm sure that Hushai probably swallowed real hard and maybe said a silent prayer, "Oh, God, help me." Because I believe his heart sank down into his stomach when he heard that plan. Because I believe that he knew that'll work. And David, my king, will be defeated. What am I going to do? And Absalom said to him, said, "You know, if we shouldn't do this, speak thou." Watch with me, verse 7. And Hushai said unto Absalom, "The counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time." That was wise, wasn't it? It's good counsel, but not right now. The timing for this thing's just not right. So Hushai's got to go back, and he's got to take that strategy, and he's got to try to find some faults with it. You know, point out Ahithophel's errors. That's going to be hard to do, because this man counseled as if it was the oracle of God, and he's got to find fault with it. But he gets started with God being his helper. "For," said Hushai, "thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chaffed in their minds, as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. Thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people." Hushai says, you've not thought about something. David's been on the run before. Saul chased him for years and couldn't capture him. David's a man of war. He's a man after God's own heart, and he's got some mighty men. Now, he's trying to get Absalom to remember the David of the past. David's 60-some years old now, probably. He's not that 40-year-old man he used to be. Things have slowed down his life quite a bit. And Hushai's trying to say, he's a mighty man. He's going to be like a bear robbed of her whelps. In other words, if you thought he was dangerous before, he's double dangerous now. He's mad. He's fierce. You back a cat up into a corner, you're going to have a fight on your hands. You rob a bear of its whelps, you got a fight on your hands. You chase someone in their mind. Buddy, it's going to be on. Don't you misjudge who David is. Behold, verse 9, he is hid now in some pit or some other place. And it will come to pass when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. In other words, he said, you better think about it. David probably, when he left, had a plan. He's probably dug himself some pit, hid out in some cave somewhere, and he's waiting on you boys to set out with 12,000 men. That ain't nothing. Go ahead and get you a few 12,000 men. He's whooped more than that many times. And he's already laying in wait for you boys. And what you don't know is the first few thousand that go down there, David and his men are going to attack them and kill them. And when the rest of them see how quick they were destroyed, they're going to remember what a great man David is. And he has power and favor with God. And they're going to tuck their tails and run back to the house. And your kingdom's already lost before you ever got started. Hushai said, you better know who you're dealing with. David is a cunning, crafty, valiant warrior. Absalom, you're just a prince. Why, you've been fed with a golden spoon. Tell me when you ever rode off into war. Show me how many that you had to kill when your life's been threatened. Tell me how many days you laid in some cave with nothing to eat, begging God to provide for you. I'm telling you what, David, it's tough. Your hide is soft. Now, that was really something to say to Absalom. Preacher, he didn't say it just like that. Oh, he's kind of insinuating it. Because Absalom's a man of pride. And he's insinuating, Absalom, you're not tough. And Absalom wants to raise up and say, bless God, let me show you who's tough. He thinks I ain't tough. I'll show him who's tough. And so he's trying to get him off his game plan. Now watch here. He says in verse number 10, He also that is valiant. That's probably Absalom. Maybe it's Ahithophel. Valiant. Let's choose 12,000 men. Ahithophel said, I'm going to lead them. He also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. In other words, you may have a lion's heart, and you may be willing to do all this stuff, but they're tougher than you, and your heart's going to melt just as soon, just honest, just as soon as it starts. You see, that's what the terrorists thought they'd do to the United States of America. They thought, we're going to attack the Twin Towers, we're going to attack the financial epicenter of the United States, and just as soon as it does, they'll fall and crumble. That's what they thought. In fact, I can show you, I can go back through Babylon's history, how many times when they attack something, they always, the terrorists, always attack the high tower. You know the devil's not looking for the weak. Somebody says the devil's looking for the weak link in the church to get in. No, he's already got the weak link. He's not looking for the weak link. He's looking for the strong tower. He's looking for the strong man or the strong woman who's leading in the prayer room and working in the Sunday school class. He's trying to get the ones that sing in the choir, the ones that's faithful to the house of God. He said, if I can pull them down, then everybody else will say, golly, if the preacher can't do it, if the deacons ain't going to do it, man, I don't stand a chance. You see, that's how terrorism works. And that's what the devil's all about. He come to seek and destroy. That's what he came to do. He's trying to destroy lives, to steal and to kill. That's what he's about. That's what the devil's looking for. Hey, Absalom, you don't know who you're dealing with here. David's tougher than you are. So Hushai is shooting holes in Ahithophel's counsel. And it filled full of holes in Absalom's mind. So we see the counselors had a plan. But second of all, we see a counter proposal. In verse 11, he says, therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. You see what he's already suggesting? He said, let me give you, I mean, that's a pretty good plan Ahithophel's got, but there's a few errors with it, and I've exposed them for you. Now, let me give you a counter proposal. Here's what we need to do. You need to get all of Israel from Dan to Beersheba. Get all of them in together to go with you. 12,000 ain't enough. You're going to need hundreds of thousands to go with you if you're going to get David. And you go ahead and start gathering. He knew that that'd buy a little time. It's going to take a lot longer to get a hundred thousands together than to get just 12,000. In fact, Ahithophel had said, I'm going to attack him this night. But in Hushai's proposal, he says, let's think this out a little bit. And what he's trying to do is, he's trying to buy David, his friend, a little time. He wants to have time to warn David and let David escape for his life. He's trying to buy him a little time. And here's how he does it. He says, I think that you ought to be the one to lead them in battle in thine own person. Now he's kind of insinuating, why is Ahithophel wanting to do the picking and choosing? Why was Ahithophel wanting to lead him in the battle? Absalom, you're the king. I mean, you're the one that says you're a mighty warrior, and I've told you you've got a gold spoon in your mouth. I mean, if you're really who you say are, why don't you lead him in the battle? Now, I'll tell you what, Absalom, the Bible said he had beauty from the crown of his foot to the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. And he kind of liked them words. Yeah. All of Israel being under my command. Yeah, I can see me now with all my robes, and I can see me now with all my swords and all my equipment. And all of Israel will hear me say, charge! And they'll know that Absalom rules in the land. I like that plan because it's about me. Ain't it amazing how the devil will come and try to say, this is about you. This is about how you feel it. And you know what you'll do? Yeah. And Absalom was filled with pride, filled with vanity, and all that Hushai had to suggest to say, I think you ought to be the one to lead them into battle. And so shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found. And we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground. In other words, he's escaped Saul all these years, but Absalom, when you take all these people, they'll never escape you, son. You're so smart. Man, you've got so many people. You're so strong. You'll be like the dew on the ground. They'll never get away from you. And of him and of all the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. In other words, why would we want them people back? Because if they're traitors and they've run off with David, even if you kill David, they're liable to try to kill you. Let's just take care of all of them. Let's get them all and be as the dew on the grass and kill them all. And Absalom, you know how he is. Yeah, I'm bloodthirsty. I'm power thirsty. Let's get them all. He said, moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will draw it into the river until there be not one small stone found there. In other words, there's some city harboring him. Well, we'll have enough people that we'll just put ropes and we'll tie it to the ground of that city, and there'll be enough of us with such might that we'll just pull the whole city right into and drown them all. Now, that's unfeasible. I mean, I could put a rope in the ground till I'm blue in the face and pull, amen, I'll never get her moved. Y'all can help me after church if you want to, Brother Al. That'd be great. That's me and you. We're going to move the graveyard. Just me and you. And we're going to pull it down the hill just a little. It won't work, will it? Well, let's get Brother Steve Savior, Brother Floyd. Let's get Brother Will. See, it ain't going to work. But you see what Absalom, it sounds so good to Absalom. Absalom says, yeah, bless God, there won't be a stone left there. We're going to kill them all. He's bloodthirsty. Boy, he's got him all cooked up now. You remember what David said? Back there in chapter 15. Would you turn back there with me? Chapter 15, verse 31. This is what David said. One told David, saying, Ahithophel, verse 31, is among the conspirators with Absalom. David knew him, and he knew how smart he was and how people listened to him. David said, oh Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. You see what's happening here? God's using Hushai to help turn that counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. I actually had someone jump in my face one time. Man, they was going to give me down the road. I said, oh God, send them confusion. And they started talking stuff to me that I don't think they understood what they're saying themselves. And when they turned around and walked off, they said, I don't know, I was so mad a minute ago, but I don't even know what I said. And they're just completely confused when they walked away. You see, God can do that. Ah, preacher, he don't do that. Are you sure? There's a Tower of Babel that's trying to build up there. And he said, let us go down. And he sent them confusion, amen, amongst them. And they couldn't even, hey, and then he said, what's wrong with you? Can't we was talking a minute ago? Get that pig Latin out of your mouth and talk to me. And confused them all, and the project broke down and they all went home. God can do that. And God is answering the prayers of David. But do you know why David's on the run? Sure I do. Absalom chased him off. No. God is chastising David for his sin. In his own family, in front of a whole nation. Now get this. Have you ever been chastised? And right in the middle of the chastisement of God, David prays. God says, I'll honor that. Glory to God, ain't it good that even in chastisement, amen, if we're really repenting and submitting ourselves to God in chastisement, that He will hear our prayers, amen, and still answer them? Glory to God, ain't God good? That right there shows you how much He loves us, even though He's chastising. I mean, my daddy told me many times, he put me over his knee, said, son, I hate to do this to you. It hurts me that it hurts you. Boy, there's times I wish he'd love somebody else. I mean, he liked to love me to death a few times. I'm doing this because I love you, son. Oh, daddy loves somebody else. He loved me too much. I want you to know, he said in verse 14, and Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. What about that? They took a vote. Now, that's well pleased with what Ahithophel said earlier. Yeah, let's kill David. That sounds good. But after examining that and listening to Hushai said, man, I tell you what, Hushai's got a point. In fact, I think in the kingdom of Israel, it had never been said before that somebody else's advice was better than Ahithophel's. It had never happened in history. But it has happened now. And you know why? Read the next part of the verse. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel. Why did He appoint to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel? Because David prayed. And God answered. Heard Brother Bob McCurry saying this morning, boy, it blessed me to death. He said they found that they can send radio waves into outer space to try to speak to other planets. In fact, we're booming right now sending radio waves because we believe all them planets and all them stars have life on them out there. And we're booming out radio waves to try to communicate with them. Only problem is, if they was to hear, it takes 48,000 years to get an answer back. So if Peter, in his day, sent out those radio waves, he'd only have to wait 46,000 more years to hear from heaven. But by the time you get on your knees, in the middle of the worst chastisement of your life, or in the mountaintop experience of your life, when you get on your knees, it goes higher than the stars, higher than the sun, right to the very throne of the Most High God, and before you get up, amen, He gives you an answer. Ain't God good? Don't you know what? David prayed, amen, God answered him in the midst of chastisement. Don't you get the pooch slip and quit. God's whipping me and beating me down. Hey, God's getting you ready for something, amen. Don't you give up on this thing, amen. He's got a plan. He's going to exercise it and work it out. Just stay with the stuff. And then he's got a little comma there. To the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. What? Oh, yes. Not only has he defeated the very counsel of Ahithophel because David prayed, but he said, Absalom, you may be David's boy, but there ain't nobody going to treat a man after my own heart that way. I'm the one called him. I'm the one ordained him. I'm the one that appointed him. I'm the one that anointed him. He's my king. You spoke against him, and I'm going to whoop you for it. I'll tell you what, you will not touch God's anointed. No, no, no. I don't care if it's even your own. It will not happen. God will whip that down. You don't have to worry about God taking care of it. He knows exactly what the motives are, why people say, why they do, why they act things out the way they act. God's in charge of this thing. And he said, Absalom's coming down. I've had enough. Now read with me. We've seen a counter proposal. Then we have some careful proceedings. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and unto Abiathar the priest. That's the priest of all Israel. Priest to a most holy God. Zadok and Abiathar, they were going to go with David. And David said, no, we need some counterintelligence. I want you boys to stay back here. I might need y'all. In fact, they said, we're going to bring the Ark of the Covenant with us. He said, oh no. We worked too hard to get the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. He said, I don't need the Ark. I need the God of the Ark. Amen. He said, you leave the Ark right where it is and God will just go with me. Now Zadok and Abiathar's back there, and Hushai, they're all buddies of David. And Hushai says to Zadok and to Abiathar, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. In other words, there's been a plan and a counterproposal. And they like my counterproposal, but who knows about Absalom? He's liable to go back on his word like that. So I want to tell you what, there's two plans. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that were with him. In other words, he says, Zadok and Abiathar, tell David he's got to get out of the wilderness. They're coming for him. And they start at any hour. He's got to get out of the wilderness. Hey friend, can I tell you something? You better get out of the wilderness of sin you're trying to live in. Old devil's looking for you. He's trying to get you right where you are, amen. I don't tell you what, you better get up and go to God. You better draw a little closer to Him. He said if we'd draw nigh to Him, He'd draw nigh to us. Now read here. He says, priest, I want you to warn them. That's my job. As the man of God, my job's to warn you. Don't you abide in the wilderness of sin. It ain't going to work out well with you. What's this next verse? Interesting verse to me. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by Enrogel. for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a witch went and told them. They went and told King David. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Who in the world is Jonathan and Ahimaaz? I'm glad you asked. In chapter number 15, if you'd back up there, you're with me all the way up to the point where they come to Zadok and Abiathar. And you've seen these other two fellows, and I've seen you kind of swallowing. Oh, I've had enough. Who's these two guys? I'll tell you who they are. What's here? Verse 27. The king said also to Zadok the priest, remember him, we just read about him, art not thou a seer? Return into the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz thy son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. Who is the two priests? Zadok and Abiathar. The priest got two boys, Ahimaaz and Jonathan. Go back with me where we was. These are the sons of the priest, Jonathan and Ahimaaz. They're by in Rogel. There's a well there. The Bible says there was a wench. That would be a young female servant. They may have told Zadok and Abiathar at the house of God, may have said, young lady, we need you to take this testimony down to the well that's in Rogel. And I want you to tell Ahimaaz, and I want you to tell Jonathan, this is what David needs to do. This is Absalom's plan. And that young lady, the Bible calls her a wench. That's not a witch. No, no, no. That young lady, she went down there probably in disguise. She was going down there to get water or whatever. But she gets down there and she tells them, thus and thus is what the priests have told me. Hushai has counseled them. This is what Absalom's going to do. And those two boys, Ahimaaz and Jonathan, heard that news. And they said, oh, who cares? I want to watch Carolina. I mean, I got some family obligations. We need to go to Ingles and shop. I got to get gas for my car. I'm not, you know, David, come on, big deal. Who's David? He's not here anymore. Oh, no, no, no. You see, that's what we do. We get prudent information that needs to be delivered right now. And God says, I want you to get out and pray about so-and-so. Well, I'm kind of tired. I've sent the Holy Ghost to tell you, get up and pray for so-and-so. But you don't know what kind of day I've had. Oh, he don't, does he? Well, I just don't see how it's relevant that I get up and pray. I mean, who am I? I mean, let's get the preacher up. I'm tired. I got to get up. God said, get up! I want you to deliver this good news right now. I want you to start praying about it right now. Praise God for a young lady that would go faithfully and give her testimony. I remember there was an old leper by the name of Naaman. Remember him? I mean, he's a leper. I mean, he had all this money and had all this stuff. There's a young lady who said, oh, that my Lord Naaman. He knew the man of God that's down yonder in Israel serving God. Boy, I know he can heal him. That young lady came with that one little testimony. And hope sprang up in her heart. And they went down there. Long story short, he dipped 7 times in the river, amen. And God cleansed him. Why? Because a young lady was faithful to deliver what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Hey man, I'm going to tell you what, you need to deliver. I mean, you send the U.S. Post Office out. And they say that the rain and the sleet and the snow's not going to stop them. They're going to get your mail through, amen. I tell you what, glory to God, when God gives us a postage stamp and puts it on us to go with the message, amen. Bless God, you better go and tell them what thus saith the Lord. Don't change the message, just deliver the mail. Hallelujah. That young lady went down there and told them, this is what you need to do. Nevertheless, a lad saw them. He saw a young man saw that happen and told Absalom. He wrote and said, Absalom, old new king, we got a problem. I saw a young lady who had, she's come down there from Jonathan and Ahimaaz. Over there was Zadok and Abiathar. You've questioned their integrity the whole time. I'm telling you what, I've seen them talking and discussing. I don't know what's going on. You better check it out. I'm going to tell you what, Absalom's got ears. He's got eyes. What are you trying to tell me, preacher? The devil is a watching your life. He's going to see if your car actually goes to church. He's going to hear you on the phone if you're really talking about one another. Why, the devil can hear! And he's the prince and the power of the air. He's got ears to hear and eyes to see. And he's got a whole lot of henchmen that followed him, amen, that's tormenting you and I. And as soon as you start complaining and whining, he's listening to what you've got to say. I'm telling you what, somebody's seeing what's going on right there. And he runs down there and says, hey Absalom, this is what's happening. But they, that's Jonathan and Ahimaaz, They went, both of them, away quickly. They came to a man's house at Baharim, which had a well in his court, whither they went down. In other words, he had a well there in his garden, and they went down that well. Must have been a dry well. But I don't know. Must have went out. They're standing in water. Went down that well, and the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon, and the thing was not known. Boy, there's some good preaching right there. Let's keep going. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman to the house, they said, "Where's Ahimeaz and Jonathan?" And the woman said unto them, "They be gone over the brook of water." And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. In other words, the devil's after them. He's chasing them, trying to do anything he could to get them and discredit them, probably going to kill them. But praise God, they was in the well. And I'm going to tell you what, it ain't a dry well. She said that they're over the brook of water. You know, Lord our God, I'm glad, amen, you and I, hallelujah, can get in the well. There's a woman came one day thirsting. She came to the well. And guess what she met? She met the Master. He said, "You just don't need a drink of water, amen. I'm just going to give you the whole well. Whoever drinks of this water is going to thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again." Glory to God. The woman left her water pot, went out of the city and told him, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ?" Glory to God. Here's these fellas down in the well, and they put a covering over them. Hey. I'm glad, amen, we've been hit with the rock. Hey, amen. Amen. I didn't mean to preach all that. I just come out like a bell. But there's a lot more in it than that. Keep on going. And they could not be found. Guess what? The devil can't find you when you're in Christ. He loves his boy in the face. But if you're just abiding in Jesus, just abiding in the vine, amen, the devil can't find you. Ain't God good? I'll never forget that rabbit. That the dogs was a-running and a-chasing. And that rabbit run through every thicket and every briar patch, but he couldn't shake the dogs. And finally come down there to the lily patch. And he hid underneath them lilies. And when the dogs got close to the lily patch, they lost the sin of the rabbit and picked up the sin of the lilies. And they lost the rabbit. Guess who's the lily of the valleys? Amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're getting run by the hounds of hell and the devil's barking down our throats and getting ready to take our life, if you just run to Jesus, amen, the devil will lose your trail. You can abide in Him. Amen. You need to get a hold of the well, amen, as a resource. Amen. Read on with me now. The Bible says when they sought and could not find them, the devil can't find them, they returned back to Jerusalem, back to Absalom, said, "We don't know what's going on. We couldn't find them. Lost their trail. I don't know what happened. It was right there in front of us. They just disappeared." And it came to pass after they were departed that they came up out of the well. They went and told King David and said unto David, "Arise and pass quickly over the water. For thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you." In other words, you can't stay in this wilderness, David. You're going to get across the river over there. You're going to get to the other side of the river. Hey, y'all, you can't abide in the wilderness. You got to get to the other side of the river. Hallelujah. I was up there at that Saint of God's house a minute ago that's just getting ready to check out of here. She's telling me, she said, "Just across the river, I'm seeing a place." Hallelujah. She said, "It's a heavenly place." Oh, youngins, I wish y'all could see what I'm seeing. I want to tell you what, y'all, if we can in prayer get across the river, amen, and get out of the wilderness, amen, what a God would be blessed to get there. Hallelujah. I'm feeling right good tonight. I want you to know what? You can get down on your knees and you can go right across the river and have access to heaven. The Bible says, then David arose, and all the people that were with him, they passed over Jordan. And you think David took that news and said, bah humbug, I'll fight him myself. You think he took that news and just sat on his pew and said, "I ain't going to do nothing with it. I can get across the river. You mean I've got access to the throne? I can come boldly before the throne of God. I might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need?" Yeah, David. I don't need that. That's the way Baptists are. Yeah, I don't need that. That ain't for me. But I sure hope they got it. I know they need it. Look at them. That's the way people do. That's what David's trying to do. No. David said, "Glory to God, thank you for warning me. Thank you for telling me. And I'm going to take the words of God that's been directed for me, and I'm going to make application to my individual life, and we're going to get out of the wilderness of sin, and we're going to get across the river, amen." And all the people with him said, "We're going with you. There's safety in Jesus." And they all went across the river over there. Hallelujah. And we see some considerations privately. Verse 23. We could read verse 22 again. Then David arose and all people that were with him. They passed over Jordan by the morning light there lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. Let me say this. What would happen if we all got on our knees in unity before God and was crying out one accord at Bethel Baptist Church? It's hardly ever been a Sunday when the preacher preached his heart out that everybody in the house just went down the altar and said, "Oh, I want the will of God in my life. Yes, glory to God, amen," and started praying. But if it ever did, my soul, we might actually have church at Bethel. Amen? I mean, we put worship out there on the front of our sign, but it ain't always worship. It may be service, but it ain't always worship. Now look at some considerations privately. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass, and he arose and got him home to his house, to his city, put his household in order, and hanged himself and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Well, preacher, when he saw his counsel wasn't followed, and he had never been refused before, he got his feelings hurt and he hung himself. No, I don't think that's what it was. What? No, he's not Baptist. Baptists get their feelings hurt at church, and they go home with their lip dragging the ground, and they won't come back to church for a month until the preacher calls and say, "Where y'all been?" "Well, I just wanted you to know." But yet they'll take the boss man yelling and screaming at them all day long and don't quit that job. Hello? Got my feelings hurt. Didn't shake my hand twice like you shook Steve. I shook his hand twice, but you didn't shake mine twice. I'm mad. I think I'm just going to go home and quit. And spiritually, commit suicide spiritually. I just quit. I'm not going to be in the vine no more. No. You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to get yourself burned. Ahithophel went home. Why'd he go home? Why'd he set his house in order? Why'd he hang himself? Because he knew. He said, "You know what? Absalom didn't listen to me. And I knew it would work. He listened to Hushai. And that's a trumped up deal. Absalom's going to lose. And when we lose, David's coming back to Jerusalem. And I'm going to fry. They're going to implicate me in conspiracy. I'm dead man. I'll hang publicly. I think I better just go ahead and do it privately because we lost this war." Let me tell you what. Devil already knows he's lost. He tried to defeat him there at the cross. Thought he had him. Put him in the tomb. He said, "Woo-hoo-hoo, we got him now. I'm the new sheriff in town. I got him." And glory to God, death couldn't hold him. Hell couldn't hold him. Tomb couldn't hold him. Rock couldn't hold him. Devil couldn't hold him. And now he's got the key to the devil's own place. Amen. He's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And we're on our way to that city. And the devil's a defeated foe. And he knows it. But he ain't going to commit Satan's suicide. He's going to try to kill everybody else that he can and cause them to commit spiritual suicide and kill their own selves and give up. But then he knows in the long run, the Lord's one day going to get him by the feet of the britches. He's going to say, "Get out of here, son." And he's going to toss him in the lake of fire. And he's going to fry there forever and ever and ever and ever. I like that, don't you? Glory to God, one of these days the devil's gone. But it's kind of weird to me. I mean, I see something a little bit, a strange mixture here in Ahithophel. He's a smart man. He's very smart. Before he died, he set his house in order. Do you disagree? I mean, he prepared everything. But yet he went ahead. I mean, he's in total despair. Total depravity, took his own life. He had a strange mixture going on there, didn't he? Set everything in order to still kill himself. What about that? It's amazing. Now, I want to say to you, preacher, I believe a man kills himself and goes immediately to hell. I think you're wrong. I mean, the devil's trying to destroy people. John 10:10 says he's a thief. He's a murderer from the beginning. He's looking to kill, looking to destroy. I believe that there's just possible. Just possible. And you hear what I'm telling you very carefully. I'm not going to speak for Ahithophel, but I'm going to speak for, it might be somebody, maybe even been a preacher, and cancer got in his body. And doctors prescribed medicine. And it got that man just out of his mind just enough that he took his own life in a moment of weakness. Somebody, the devil, jump up and say, "He's in hell! He's in hell!" and discredit him. He suffered some loss of reward. But I want to tell you what, once he got it, amen, he got in. I don't tell you what it is, just in, you hear me. I might get kicked in the head by a horse in the morning. And if they put me in the brine center over there, and y'all come to see me and I cuss you like a sailor. And you may say, that preacher is never saved. I'm going to tell you what, you're wrong.
Amen.
I could just get kicked in the head and go out of my mind and take my own life. I'm still going to be in glory. Amen. Preacher, I don't like your reason. If you think about it, amen, I hope you don't get kicked in the head and you have to find out. I see some considerations privately. I'm going to close tonight with, a cruel pursuit. Then David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. In other words, Absalom has got his great army. He's commanded, let's go, charge! Here they go together. He and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab, which Amasa was a man's son, whose name was Ithrah, an Israelite, that went into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zariah, Joab's mother. So you might say that this is one of his distant cousins. He's captain over all the land. And it's a cruel pursuit. The Bible says, so Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. Preacher, what's so cruel about it? He's chasing his own father. A man who loves him. A man who loves his son. He's fighting against his own death. He's fighting against the own king of all of Israel. He's fighting against a man after God's own heart. It's a cruel pursuit. Let me say to you tonight, if you're trying to run down some church or some man of God, it's a cruel pursuit. If you're trying to gain people, I'm going to get me some signatures and we're going to get a petition that preacher leaves. I want you to help me sign. And that's done all. I just talked to somebody this week. They're doing it. Kind of petition to get rid of the preacher. That's a cruel pursuit. You let God take care of things. Just trust God. You ought to go pray for them. Amen? I thought I was going to close, but I got one more thing to say. Some comforting provisions. Verse 27. And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim. Can you imagine how weary, how weak, and how tired David must be, knowing that Absalom is coming for him, his own son, that Shobai, the son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, remember him? Oh, he has some things to do there with Mephibosheth, the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gilead out of Rogalim. They brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey. Glory to God. Hallelujah for honey. Amen. And butter and sheep and cheese of kind for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Here we see some comforting provisions. Some obscure men that not mentioned a whole lot. Some men that are in a foreign land. They come to David in David's greatest time of need and they provide comfort for him. I mean, David did write Psalm 23 verse 5 when he says, thou preparest a table before me. And what? The presence of mine enemies. I mean, he's got enemies coming. And God said, let me just send you some provisions. Now don't forget. Are you with me? You still with me? Don't forget. David's under the chastising hand of God. God's whipping him, running him off his throne. Whipping him through his own family. And David's weary. Yeah, he deserves it. He's weak. He's hungry. He's thirsty. God says, David submitted to the chastening hand of God. He said, God, you may whip me, but you're still my God. And I'm going to accept your whipping because I deserve it, sir. But I want to humble myself. If Shimei cusses me, let him cuss. I'm going to serve you. If Absalom comes after me, let him come. I'm just going to serve you. And God said, look at that boy. That's my own son. David, a man after my own heart. I love him when I chastise him and he's hungry and he's thirsty. Hey, Barzillai. Hey, Machir. Take him some cheese of kind. Give him some sheep. Somebody take him a bed. They need some comforting provisions. I want you to supply them. You realize Absalom's coming. They're going to need a little rest. Absalom's coming. They're going to need some supplies and some nourishment. Hey, I want you to go to church on Wednesday night. I want to tell a preacher to preach on some groceries. To bring down some provisions from glory. And preach on the supplies of God. I'll tell you what, you got to go back to work tomorrow. You got to leave this church tonight and go back out there in the world. And you're weary and you're tired and you're worn out. And God said, I've got some comfort and provisions for you. And I want you to tell them about my grace. Tell them about my mercy. I want to feed them and nurse them. And when they go out of here, they'll go to here smiling and say, boy, it was good to be in church tonight. Man, we looked at 2 Samuel chapter 17 and God showed me something I ain't never seen before. In the middle of my whipping, you ever been whipped by God? In the middle of my whipping, He still loves me and He'll still supply for me. He'll still hear and answer my prayers. Glory to God for some comfort and provisions in some weary land in which we live. You stand with me tonight. That's what the Lord's laid on my heart for this evening. He's got to ready the troops for combat. Absalom's coming. Let me tell you what, y'all. The devil's after you. You better get ready. You better get the supplies. You better get the rest. But you're going to, you better study the Word of God. You better hit the altar and pray somewhere. Amen. Hear me tonight. God said, get out of the wilderness and reach across the river. I got just what you need. Ain't it amazing He used some human people? I mean, some human flesh folks to come down there and be a blessing. I can't tell you, but something happened to me today. Happened to this church today. You didn't realize it. You wouldn't realize it at all if I didn't tell you, but something happened to this church today. God blessed it real good. It was incredible what He did. Thank you, Lord. I know they don't even have to know, but you ought to just, God's good. Something I've been praying for, He's answered the prayer. Met the need. Worked out, supplied, provided. I can't tell you how it happened. Preacher, what did happen? I can't tell you what happened. I can't tell you how it happened. I'm just going to tell you what God did something today, and it was miraculous to me. And it blessed me from the gable end of my soul to the other side. What? Well, He ain't done nothing for me. If He did it for this church, He's done it for you. Yes, He's done it for you. Lord, I thank You that even in a time of chastisement, if we'd humble ourselves in Your sight and accept You and submit to You, God, You'd still answer our prayers. You'd still bless us in our needs. And God, I realize You're preparing some things. There's some things out there. You've got some timetables laid out. You're preparing some things. You're setting some things in order tonight, Lord. And I say hallelujah to God for that, for what You're working out. Now, God, I pray, Father, You'd help us that we'd see You in everything. That we'd see You on the mountain and we'd see You in the valley. We'd see You in love. We'd see You in love of chastisement. And God, I pray, Father, You'd help us to see some truth in the Word of God tonight, something that we might glean from and might help us. And thank You, Lord, for some comforting provisions. Thank You for these good folks that are here tonight. While them at Holiday, man, and said, you preach to us, preacher. I appreciate their prayers and I appreciate their encouragement and their support while they're helping to supply me when they do that. Thank You, Lord, for them. I pray, God, You'd encourage them now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen and amen. Lord of God, y'all. Good night. God bless you. I appreciate you being here. Hallelujah.